Welcome to the Faith It Till You Make It podcast. My name is Aspasia Kumli Wood, and I am a mindset to heartset, manifestation, and spirituality teacher. My mission is to ignite your inner light, awaken the authentic self, and guide you as you manifest your daydream into reality. Confidence is sexy, so be you on purpose. I'm determined that we can change the world by changing ourselves first.
So welcome to another podcast episode at Faith It Till You Make It. I'm so excited because today I have with me Remington Donovan, who is my friend, and we spend time together in the Kundalini community here in Los Angeles. He is a teacher, and he's also my teacher in many ways. He's a mystic. He's a sage. He's a Kabbalist. He's a numerologist. He's a yogi. I'm so excited that we're going to start a conversation around all those super interesting topics that they're all tools and modalities that one can use in order to increase self-observation ability for self-development. So, hi, Remington.
Hello, Aspasia, Satnam, and thank you very much for having this on. And I'm glad I didn't have to become fluent in Greek in order to do this with you. Although some of those words do come up in some of the tarot and things like that. I'm sure I completely butcher the pronunciation, but maybe it'll come up in this episode. So anyhow, thanks again. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you so much. And yes, when you did my reading last summer, I remember, and I didn't know that tarot cards have Greek words. I don't remember now which one it was, maybe Gnosis or something.
The Hierophant, founder of the mysteries, which is in the tarot, that's the spiritual teacher. The old tarot, some tarot would call it the Pope. The deck and the consciousness and the way, which all come from the magical tradition, is always evolving with the new consciousness shifts for humanity. So the Pope is sort of an outdated concept in that world, in that the real teacher is, that's the Hierophant, the one who takes the mysteries, brings them to the light, just like a guru, right? That word means from the darkness to the light. That's what the Hierophant card, that's what that represents. And then there's so much layered mysticism and symbolism within that card. So for example, it's like astrological sign of Taurus. It's represented by a Hebrew letter called Vav, which is also represented by the symbol of a nail, because a nail, like that you would nail like into a wall to like hang a painting or something like that, binds. So it makes the connection. It's the conduit that connects the student with the spiritual teaching. And so it goes layered and layered. We could do a whole podcast about that.
Man, I love how you incorporate all those different ancient, all of them are ancient, right? Ancient modalities, yes, and tools, along with astrology, tarot, the Kabbalah. And I know that a lot of our listeners right now maybe don't know much about numerology. Maybe they don't know a lot. So if you can just explain a little bit more and how one can use it for their self-development.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, these are the things that I love. So these are the tools that I use and that I teach. And all of these, numerology, astrology, tarot, but I also do I Ching, something called geomancy. I can do all of these different systems of what are known as divination. It's one aspect of it. But what it all connects to, even Kundalini yoga, even like the NLP techniques that I know you're familiar with, that I'm less familiar with at I know that it exists and I kind of have an idea and I know people have done it or have done sessions with you, but it all can fit under Kabbalah, because Kabbalah is sort of a neutral master key system that all systems can intermingle with. Now, this all is rooted in a mystery tradition. So these are not the sort of hidden spiritual traditions of all traditions. And then for me, it all roots into the spiritual path of what is known as magic or the Western mystery school. Kundalini yoga is a mystery tradition, right? Kundalini yoga, don't worry, I'm going to get to numerology here. The Kundalini yoga was taught only in secret for up until very recently, up until what, 40-ish plus years ago. So the magical tradition, which is all the Kabbalah, numerology, it all comes from that. Everything, those sort of hidden secrets were kept through a process of initiation and teacher-student process. The world wasn't ready on a bigger level to have all of this. Now the world is a little more ready and it's opening up. Kundalini, you can go sign up for a class in most places in the world, or it's really growing, but it all really does still connect to Kabbalah. And Kabbalah is just a neutral spiritual system. If you look it up online, you'll find so much stuff, many different spellings of the word Kabbalah. I come from a tradition, and I was taught in a tradition that would be considered Hermetic Kabbalah, which comes from Hermetic magic. And that's also ties into Hermes, which was Mercury, which was the god Thoth. And then the ancient Egyptian name for that was Tehuti. So
the hermit, not the ask, not the person that is sitting by themselves.
Well, it does tie into that, because when you say hermetically sealed, it's like this impenetrable sort of solid force. But it loosely just implies this Western mystery tradition. It's really rooted in ancient Egypt, but the general philosophy is, we take the core spiritual teaching of every tradition. That's what the magic is, right? Every tradition is rooted in a spiritual magical tradition. So you can take Judaism as a religion, but the mystical tradition is the Kabbalah. You can take Christianity as a religion, but the mystics are the Gnostics, right? So the Gnostics are the mystic Christians. You can take the Sufis, for Islam. That's a mystical sect. And then what happens is eventually things branch out and they just become a religion for the masses. I always say that spirituality is your own individual spiritual experience. That's the magic. That's the magical tradition. And so many traditions are magical traditions. And then the religion is the celebration of somebody else's spiritual experience, right? So if you're Christian and we're celebrating the birth of Christ, we're celebrating something that happened to somebody else 1,000+5,000 years ago. I'm on a path that says, what's the real essence here? What's the symbolism? So with Kabbalah, you can network into anything and sort of figure it out. And numerology is one of the basic foundations of all of that. Numerology exists in everything. I could sit with you and we could figure out numerology for NLP. I could figure out the numerology of your eyeglasses, and I could figure out the numerology of that really cool light blue pen that you're holding right now. There's significance in those colors. So with the Kabbalah, as you start to learn, okay, all of this, here's a system that ties in. So the numerology, for example, the color red corresponds to Geburah, which means severity, which is force and action in Hebrew, ties into the number five. So five, now I know five resonates with this energy of action. But from there, you can start to break down shapes, geometry. Like you can, the whole point of numerology is not as much about, what does this number mean, right? As opposed to taking those meanings as like a base to jump off of, and then use it as a tool to open and expand your mind. Because I can see, and I know the listeners are just listening, but we're watching via video right now, and I can see a little red outline, or it looks like something red, or a scarf or something you're wearing. So right there, I'm like, okay, Spasia is relating to the number five today. What's the fifth card in the tarot? Happens to be the Hierophant, which is the spiritual teacher. So you put on the red. Even a lot of traditions, spiritual teachers wore red. Buddhism, even in the magical tradition. So some part of you was picking up on the energy of Mars. You told me you were going to go hiking. Well, you need, so Mars is the energy of action, power, physical power, willpower. So I'm looking at you and I'm completely doing numerology. And it's not, again, it's not just the number. I'm looking at the color. So, okay. So it tells me something about you, the energy that you're tapping into. Why did you choose? So you need to start thinking, why did you choose to wear that scarf? What is the numerology? Without like going crazy. I always joke and I get so many messages and I'm grateful for them. But sometimes it'll be like the longest message. Well, I keep seeing 17, 29, 285, 666, 123, 341. What does it mean? And sometimes it just means you're in a harmony and synchronicity and a good flow. But I can break it down. So what it does is it just, when I use it, when I do a reading for somebody, is I just allow the process of the numbers to start to speak to me. And what it does is it opens me up to something higher. And through that process, that's where everything starts coming in. And so it's very artistic, it's very intuitive, and it's very fluid. So you got to kind of start, okay, five is the teacher, five is the physical body, five is action, five is severity, five is warfare. The negative side of five is going to be anger, resentment, too much action, just getting pissed off, right? Like, you have a red scarf on, and like, so you're tapping into five, but maybe when you go driving later and somebody cuts you off, are you going to be like, F off, and give them the middle finger or something like that? So, but it, again, it really comes down to, it's the opening process. That's where the magic is with the numerology.
So it's like a communication with the universe. So you're communicating your infinite intelligence to give you information about a given mandate, if that is...
That's very much what it is. And you start with the science and shift it into a deep art. I do a system called tantric numerology, which is utilized in Kundalini yoga, but my entire background, most of my life in the Kabbalah numerology, which is something called geomancy. So you start to tie in letters, words, colors, shapes, anything. Right? Anything. I can do a numerology on anything. Mm-hmm. And the tantric is a system, though, that I really like, that gives you a chart. But the meanings of the numbers do have meanings. So, but the first rule in gematria is there are no rules. But you got to still be smart, and you have to apply it with wisdom. You know, if I can just make crazy associations, and I hear stuff all the time, like about, angel numbers mean this and that. And I'm like, I don't know that it really means that. Mm. And I would believe it more if someone just meditated on the number and allowed the message to come through to them of what was really happening. But it's messages. The universe is always speaking to us through numbers. So that's like kind of the key essence of numerology. But like when I meet with a client, I do a numerology chart. So I break down, and you've taken some of my classes. I also even helped teach the teacher's training you were in. So you know how to do your own numerology chart, and those placements are very valuable in tantric numerology, where you have a soul number, a karma number, a gift number, an experience, a life path number. I'm amazed, out of just five numbers, how much wisdom can be extracted. And the key too is, then what do? You have to use these tools practically, right? Like, if you're just like getting all philosophical about what it means, but you're not applying it to your life, other than maybe a fun exercise, it doesn't really serve the purpose. Mm-hmm. So I've used numerology for my own personal growth. Like for me, for example, and I'm just using me because I know my numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a 10 soul. And 10 is a number of sort of radiance, of a certain spiritual nobility, and kind of a larger than life character. It's always seen. So I know those have been lessons for me to really step into that space, right? And I've noticed, even with my work professionally, the more I allow myself to be seen, the more I put it out there, the more I sort of expose myself, which I was a little reluctant to do it because these are such sacred things, or I didn't even think the work that I do could be a job, right? As I used my numerology, and I said, oh, okay, these are things that I should do. Let me lean into it. Let me lean into the positive aspects of it. It's really been life-changing for me. So I use it, like, to me, and when I work with the client, it's like, who you are, here's your vibrational tendencies. Let's move in the strong direction because you have amazing skills. And everybody has their own little makeup and their little formula, the little things in which each person, we all have our spiritual work, and we all have our issues, you know, like in a different way. And numerology is such an awesome tool to bring awareness, and it will tell you, okay, let's go in this direction.
And it's a self-reflection tool. It's one of the things that I teach my students, for example, is to reflect back from reality where they are at. And there are so many different ways to do that. There are the NLP ways, where you mirror yourself through the reactions of other people. That is a technique at NLP. So numerology is a self-reflection tool. It's a tool that can show you where you're at this moment, and also what your strengths are, like an astrology chart, but in a different way. right?
Very similar. It's interesting. You have sevens, do you know, off the top of your head?
Yes, so I have here.
Seven is a reflection.
So I have two sevens, four fours, three nines. So I have balance and acid at seven, two sevens.
The seven is very, it's so super NLP because it reflects. And I didn't know that about NLP, but seven can mirror and reflect somebody else's ongoings because the number seven is very much an empath. So it can absorb other people, but when you do it right, it means you can help shift and create. But it's definitely a mirror. That's why I ask, because I know that you do that. And that's because I work with it every single day. I've just, over time, so much evolves and develops, and I start to notice and track patterns of different numbers.
That's
just because I see it, you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%, because one of the things of personal growth and self-development is to observe one's patterns, the thinking patterns, and observe, you know, situations that end up happening in your life constantly. Do you usually see people that are angry around you? Do you get into fights?
Like, or do you always attract like a horrible relationship and you're not valued and you're taken
for granted? Bravo, exactly. Does your relationship with your boyfriend right now is very similar with your ex-boyfriend, or does it even remind you of the relationship that your aunt has with your uncle? You know, it's the patterns. And I use astrology. I'm not an astrologer. I don't teach it or I don't use it. I can see the symbols. That's a very Jungian also. From the therapy side, Jung was all about the archetypes and the symbols and using them for self-reflection and self-development. So I can totally see what you're saying, because you are using intuition with all those symbols that have a scientific mystical background, and then you blend them all together to create a grid of consulting for your clients and your students.
Yeah, it's like kind of like storytelling. And I just, in astrology, you know, is like that too. Even if you don't believe in astrology, you can use astrology because it shows a pattern of a story. Or I even describe it as like cooking. So let's say, okay, your sun is in Aquarius and it's conjunct Mercury, that would also be in Aquarius. All of a sudden, what we have are these archetype stories, right? We just have these high concepts, right? Aquarius is like cutting edge technology. It's humanitarian. It's like higher enlightened ideals of humanity. It's kind of eccentric. The sun is this represents like your identity and your radiance. And Mercury is your mind and your intelligence. So right away, I can say like, okay, well, this is going to be an incredibly smart person. They communicate a lot. They may be even way ahead of the curve as far as like awareness and consciousness or technology. They may even be a scientist, something like that. And so you start to tell a story. And I'm always, even though I do this for a living, I'm always so elated and surprised. And I'm like a little kid. Mm-hmm. Like when it's accurate and it unfolds. But it's also the process of doing it. Astrology just starts to, again, like I was talking about, numerology opens it up. Kabbalah, if you look at the actual tree of life, is all the astrology, all of the tarot, it's all in it. And all tarot is astrology. And then numerology is all in it. So I really like tarot as well, even though I'm sort of on one level a little more known, quote unquote, as a numerologist. Tarot holds all of those systems. Tarot is the whole Kabbalah. Tarot is called the Book of Thoth. And Thoth is the ancient Egyptian scribe god. If you look him up, Thoth is like the ibis bird, and he has this long beak, and he's always seen writing. He always has like a stylus or a pen, and he's writing on these tablets. Mm-hmm. And so it's the god of all measurements. He records the Akashic records, and it's the god of all the systems. So Thoth is the god of hygiene, all systems, all divination. So all Kabbalah, which is all systems, all every system, NLP comes from the god Thoth. Okay, numerology, if you figure I Ching still comes from the god Thoth, your computer comes from the god Thoth. That's the archetype concept of that energy. But the Thoth energy, you just start opening up to that, and then you start to get understanding of everything. And that's the key. But you start with understanding yourself You know, and then I work with people to help them understand themselves
and their lives. So it's like tapping into the greed of esoteric teachings. So everything starts from Kabbalah, from all those tools. Which one is your favorite one? Or would you ever use only one? Because I know when I went, I came to your session. So I've taken your workshop on the 2019, the 3 year, number three year, which was great. And I think it's still up for sale for whoever is interested. On your Instagram, I'm going to have your handle under this podcast so people can find you. And also when we did our session for my next year, like we did last summer, you combined all of them.
Well, they're okay. I use them because they're the ones that are my favorites. So what I do is I incorporate astrology, numerology, tarot. I do a meditation. I have a series of visions. You know, here's the secret, and I don't always talk about this. I plan those techniques, but what's happening during a reading is sometimes I never know where it's all going to come from. So sometimes I'll just look at the astrology chart and the whole thing comes from there. Even though I do all the other things, I look at the numbers, I got everything I needed out of the astrology. Then I lay out the cards, it just keeps confirming it. But when I have the visions that I see, a lot of times it all comes from that. And all the greatest lessons are in the visions. But that being said, if like somehow, oh, you can only use one technique. Well, I do really like the visions because you can do it. You don't have to carry anything around. And same thing with numerology. But the tarot is the one that incorporates all of those systems the most. What a lot of people are not aware of with tarot is that it is all of the astrologies in the tarot. And so tarot starts to paint a picture. So I'm aware that, for example, say the Four of Cups, or, well, actually, let me pick another one. I've been working with a lot, the Four of Discs. So that card has all of these different factors that make it the Four of Discs, and it all relates to the Tree of Life. So the four comes from an area on the Tree of Life called Chesed. Chesed means mercy. Mm-hmm. Chesed is ruled by the planet Jupiter. So right there, I know, okay, with all of the fours, we have the X. So there's something about the energy of Jupiter. Its color is blue, so I can start to abstract. So I already have a numerology four, right? And then I know that the astrology of that card is the sun in Capricorn. So now I have this mix of energy. I have sun and Capricorn. Capricorn's really ambitious. The sun is power, your radiance. We have all this ambition, but then we're working in this mercy of God, right? And this energy of love. Four is the heart chakra, this love. So even if I didn't know the meaning of the card, that would start to tell me, this could be a really good opportunity for success, for expansion. And now we're dealing with discs, which is the element of the card. So we have Earth. So we have Earth, we have Jupiter, we have the numerology of four, we have Capricorn, we have the sun, all coming together in this one little card. And then that connects to several other paths on the Tree of Life. Now, what does that card give us? The card is called Power. And you'll often see the fours, they're sort of like building a fortress or something. So if I pick that, discs is the earth. So often could be money, property, building something. It's tangible. You know, the pen that you're holding is a part of the world of the discs. That's the physical realm. But now we have something that we can shift in the physical realm because, we have this Jupiter energy. Even though it's not marked on the card, I know that because it's a four. Jupiter is the energy that wants to expand. So then that's going to tell me, there's something pinging here to expand something tangible, right? Maybe it's you're going to get a lot more pens, right? Doesn't always have to be the most soul-shifting epic thing. It could literally be like, I'm going to get more pens and I'm going to be empowered with pens. Because I used to write all daily, and I used to do a lot of comedy, and I always write with pens, and they would run out of ink all the time. I would want a lot of pens. So I was empowered with pens. And so we know all of a sudden we have discs. And then I can go into its four, but four is the mystical number. Four is 10. 10 is a power number of radiance, and it's a number of manifestation. So all of these flavors go in to make that one dish. And tarot has so much more going on, even the average reader is probably aware of. So for me, I pull off all of that while not making it an overly intellectual process. Mm-hmm. It's just that I have that foundation And so I have a lot more to intuitively pull off of. So for some reason, maybe I'm focusing on the fact that it's the number four, or maybe it's just the visual that I'm seeing in the deck. So tarot is kind of the most inclusive system. Every single card also has astrology in it. Astrology is more fixed, right? You know, you could look in 9 years from now, this date and exactly this time, you could see exactly what your astrology chart is.
Yes.
The tarot is very fluid. The tarot is a holy book, is a sacred book written in the language of symbols that is unbound because it's always in motion. Right? So tarot is always fluid. This is also what I like about numerology, is it's very fluid. So the tarot can see behind the scenes. So what I may not see in astrology, tarot can say, oh, hey, this looks like a really good job, but there's going to be a coworker who may be jealous of you and may, you know, feel threatened by you and may try to sabotage something. Or you have a boss that you're going to be really intimidated by. But the reality is, because the tarot will really distinguish what the reality is they actually really like you, and that's their personality, so you don't have to feel intimidated, and that they're going to actually do a lot in your favor. And tarot is like sneaks in behind the scenes and will reveal things that you didn't, like you wouldn't necessarily find in other systems. Plus, astrology, you're on a timeline. I love astrology for timing, but tarot, you transcend the limitations of time.
Yeah, so because you just pull a card in an addition to an astrological fixed planetary timely, you know, showing blueprint. So you have the astrology chart, which is fixed, but then you just pull a card in the moment, any card, right? So you're playing with chance here, which is not chance. It is messages, right?
Yeah. Well, the tarot picks up on the vibrational energy and it amplifies. So tarot, like you were talking about NLP, tarot is a mirror. Tarot is mirroring and showing, oh, this is the energy that's happening, right? The future is based on the trajectory of the present. I've encountered people, especially, well, all different walks of life, but that are kind of afraid of tarot because it's very fate. They think, oh my God, I'm going to find out when I'm going to die, and I'm going to get fired, and I'm going to get divorced.
Or there are the people that cannot understand how can they believe in a card. So there's the people that are too afraid of it, or the people that are like, okay, how do I do it?
Yeah. Fortunately, not too many non-believers pay my rate for a reading.
Yeah, of course.
About it. But the tarot, though, amplifies and shows, okay, here's the energy pattern, and this is the direction you're going. The great part about tarot is going down this road. I was going to go to vacation, the weekend getaway, but it looks bad. It's going to rain and I want to go camping, et cetera. I mean, you could use your phone to predict the weather, but you know, you could see all these obstacles. So either you know what's up ahead, so you can sort of prepare and do it right. It's not about fate. The idea of fate is that everything's set in stone and it's fixed and it is what it is. This is just what's going to happen to you and you have no control about it. If that were true, and if that were true of tarot, there would be no point in doing tarot. Because the whole, right? Like, it's like, oh, this is exactly what's going to happen. The whole point of tarot and in astrology, because very evolved astrology is not fate driven. And that's the type of astrologer I am. But tarot says, oh, we can alter this. Let's, you know, I'll look at tarot in a relationship and it might be like, you may think, oh my God, this is my soulmate. We're destined to be together. And you can see it's like, there's going to be a lot of quarreling. You don't really get along that well. They're just not as interested as you think, or this, whatever the case is, or, you know, so it shows the reality, and then you can make the decision on there. Mm-hmm. Once you know that reality, the decision is up to you. And if you want to continue with the suffering, it's now become a choice.
You know, I love what you just said. My online course, the One Foundation online course that I have, it's a mixture of different tools and techniques that I have used. So what you just said is exactly the same. Like, the more tools one has, you can combine them in order to make a more educated decision how you want to deal with your life. Tarot is not, it's not predicting your future. It's just a tool, it can help you to make decisions and act in different ways.
Exactly. And how to navigate a situation. Now, I do something, what I call a progression of events readings often. And it may be like a shorter reading where a good example is someone starting a new job. And you can say, okay, let's do a progression of events so we know how to navigate it the best. Or a new relationship or whatever, business venture. I mean, those are a lot of the work that, that people come to me for, or that will show here's the, as it stands now, this is the way things are going. Oh, this looks like shit. We can change it. And a lot of times the negative, quote unquote, negative cards that come up are often about how the person is thinking or feeling or responding to the situation.
Interesting.
Right? So I know, like, even for me, I'll just share personally, like there's certain cards that for throughout my many, many, many years of doing this that I've noticed will sort of haunt me. It'll keep coming up. And it's always a lesson that I keep trying to figure out. And one forever was the Five of Discs, which these are just spiritual teachings, right? Even if you don't believe in tarot, you can still prescribe to this spiritual teaching. And the Five of Discs tells us it's worry. It's about worrying. And it's really about financial or material security, right? So it's sort of that energy of like, those have been a lot of things for me to sort of work out where I feel more secure in the world based on money or how talented I am and things like that. And when I was younger, when I was really, you know, I did okay, but those were my inner struggles, right? And that card taught me, okay, the spiritual teaching says, instead of putting all this material worry, you know, oh, when's my next paycheck coming, this and that, let me put a little more faith in spirit, a little more faith in God. Let me turn that around. Let me let go of those concerns and those worries. And I started to do that because of that card. And I've always realized, oh, I'm always being taken care of.
Oh my God, I love it. And my friend, we call it Fake It Till You Make It here. So I love that. It gave me a lot of faith when you did my reading in July. And I always
I love hearing that.
Yes.
And so that's been a pattern of mine where even though I've always been on the spiritual path, I was born into an ashram. I was meditating at a very young age. I was teaching yoga as a 7-year-old. I still would struggle with like just letting go and saying, okay, the universe, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, I have everything that I need. And I'm taken care of. And once I learned to let go of that, so much more than I ever thought I needed or could have started showing up. But I put a real energetic block. So that's been one of the tools. But it's the same thing with numerology. When you know the numbers where you take a deficient side, and you then decide, oh, let me make that switch. Let me say, okay, this is telling me. So the negative cards are not always like, oh, this horrible thing is about to happen to you. Mm-hmm. Now, I do see things. I've predicted deaths. I've predicted people getting fired. I've predicted divorces. But it's not so much the prediction. It's just, here's the energy, right? And how are you going to handle and respond to it? Sometimes you just have to deal with life on life's terms. Mm-hmm. So if you know, ooh, something's going to blow up with my company, where I've seen it where a company last minute just went out of business, like where people are showing up to go to work and they're like, oh, we don't have jobs anymore. And I had a client and I saw that, but they knew, they were like, okay, I'm going to be aware of this. I'm going to be mindful. They had already started the energy of looking for other jobs. We knew something was going to kind of blow up, and it did. And it didn't, they didn't have a breakdown. They didn't freak out. They were already ahead of the game looking for work. They already had a few leads and it all worked out in the end. And they actually got a much healthier, emotionally better job.
Deaths are the hidden blessings. Deaths, quote unquote, you know, like those catastrophes or like the change of employment or change of location. That's like, if you can know that this is the energy that comes into your life, you can be more prepared. Because I teach about the guru, right? I teach about the energy of going from darkness to light. And there is no light if you don't go through some struggle. So if you can be prepared for that struggle, that letting go phase of letting go of the past and whatever it is to move forward to a better future, that's really, really amazing.
Exactly. And I remember I had a Buddhist friend, or they prescribed to Buddhism, and then they went to a teacher. I remember I was having like a panic. It was this thing. It was many years ago. I was in a huge transition in my life. It was all a job shift, and I was really freaking out. Same thing, that five of discs. Like, am I going to be provided for? And he finally just said, he's like, you know, really, you got to just let it all go, because at the end of the day, what are you so afraid of? You're trying to control things you ultimately can't control, and you're creating a whole narrative and a story. And he said his Buddhist teacher always told him, you generally don't have anything to be afraid of unless, like, a, you know, a flaming tiger literally just jumped through your window. There you have some immediate fear of getting mauled or something like that. And it was kind of a funny little anecdote, but I was like, oh yeah, okay. There really isn't a tiger here. This is just something that's happening in my life. I'm going to get through the other side. And this is where a lot of people, you know, have trouble. Like, they don't make those shifts. Like, they're so sensitive. And a lot of our friends are very, they're very powerful. People are very empathic. You know, I really try to fortify people with that power and that confidence. And sometimes it is what it is. And for me, it's just letting go and trusting in God. That's a lot of my, what I just have to go back to. And says, I'm right here. I'm in the right place. And I'm exactly where I need to be. Even then, when I had lost my job, it was this whole thing. And I thought I was going to have to move. It was really traumatic at the time. But when I look back, I'm like, oh, I made that so much more traumatic than it needed to be.
Remington, I'm with you. I'm in it. For me, money struggles have always been my biggest fear. The time I was in the biggest fear around root chakra stuff, money stuff, the toughest time of my life, I didn't see it coming. I didn't consult you. I didn't consult anybody. I didn't see it coming at all. It was my own darkness in me, the energy that needed to be released and let go and be seen and be healed. I didn't know it was coming. It just hit me. I woke up one day, my dog was 100% paralyzed, frozen out of the blue. And in the moment that was happening, it was one of the biggest traumas I had in my life. I know I haven't had many traumas and I'm lucky, but this was one of them. And it took me a few days before I realized the absolute mirroring. I love mirroring, man. So the absolute mirroring of my own paralysis, that it was happening within my life and within my mind. It didn't manifest necessarily into that, but it just saw it as a metaphor. That's what I saw in that moment. I was like, right. I took a metaphor. And it took me a while, but that dark period of mine that I went back into a dark night of the soul, it was 6 months. It took 6 months for the dog to walk again. It was a time that I started doing the Kundalini practice. That's when I found it. That's when I started the teacher training. That was the beginning of the light for me. I didn't anticipate this to be my life. I didn't anticipate that I would love teaching. I didn't anticipate that I would make the Faith Academy. Nothing of this was planned. At the time, I had my own business. I was doing branding and fashion, and I wasn't whole in that business. I wasn't passionate about it. I don't even know if I was good at it. And what happened with the dog, which was triggered by my fear that I was holding onto that company for, you know, my mental, intellectual, like reasons, all of a sudden life pushed me to not have time to work on that business anymore. I focused on healing on the dog and focused on healing me, because that's when I saw the metaphor. And that's when my whole life changed.
Very powerful. And one of the key takeaways even for me with that story is it's like an inside job, right? So that when I was going through this dark period a number of years ago where I had lost my job, I wasn't sure, I was in LA, I didn't know a lot of people at the time. It's scary. You know, to me, this was really intimidating. Then all of a sudden my income dropped off and I had a pretty expensive place to live from my budget at the time. So I was like just living, but I was fine. Everything seemed stable. And it took one little straw on the camel's back to throw it all off. And a friend came up to me and I was like almost in near tears. And I was with a few people that I knew and I was just really scared. And he said, you know, this seems really traumatic now and everything that's happened on the inside. But if you just focus on the inside and your personal development and your growth, and if you make that your first priority and your first job, the rest is going to work itself out. And he was like, I know you don't believe me now, but I promise you I'm right. And he was right. And it was so true. And that's the thing. Like, you realized, oh, I have to just work on me. And when you work on you, you get into a congruency with the universe. And then the things that you're supposed to start doing will start showing up. You know, most of my clients want to know, what is my destiny? What is my right work? What should I be doing, right? Everyone wants to know what their job should be. Everybody listen, your job is your inner growth. When you really commit to that, the outside stuff will start showing up. My life has changed, and I've always done these other jobs, even though mysticism, Kabbalah, tarot, spirituality, yoga, et cetera, has always been my number one sort of profession and love. I never in my wildest dreams thought this is a career. Like, it wasn't logical, especially with a lot of environments that I've lived in the past. Living in Los Angeles, I will admit, like, it's a marketable skill set and a job, but I came here because of that. I didn't know it at the time. I came for other reasons, like comedy, et cetera, and, you know, writing, like everyone else comes to life. Not only do I support myself with what I love, it just all has come full circle. And it's because I made that inner commitment. I like that saying too. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Worrying is praying for things you don't want.
Yeah.
And when you can just accept a little bit in the moment, that's where like the miracles start to happen. I fell in love with my life when I had nothing, like physically. I was like waiting for unemployment to clear, and that's a whole process. So you don't just start getting money. So I was just out of money, waiting for unemployment, huge transition, but I made a switch and I just fell in love with my life then and there with nothing. And so quickly everything started to come together. I feel safe and secure and more free in the world. That doesn't mean I don't get anxious. You know, it doesn't mean I still don't worry, but I now know that when I'm worrying, I'm choosing to stay in that, and I can just make the choice to get out of it.
I'm going to keep what you just said. Your job is your inner growth, and then everything else will come. And that's how it manifested for you. That's how it happened with me. Yeah, inner growth and focusing on ourselves, getting to know ourselves, being the better version of ourselves. That's what I'm teaching. And I love the way you said your job is your inner growth and everything else will follow. Just before we go, so what would you suggest for someone that is amateur or like not as advanced? How should they work with
it? I think that the number one go-to thing that if you just did this and nothing else would be getting a consistent daily, some sort of meditation. And then what I tell people that aren't even open to that, some sort of sacred practice, right? And so even if it's just, I take a few minutes in the morning, even if you pray, some sort of mindfulness, but I really would encourage the people that do a meditation daily. That's it. They do, if they do nothing else. I watch it on the sidelines, not just my own experience. How much just things like just the roll off of them and how much opens up in their life, because there you're communicating with that inner self, that higher self. That's my key go-to, just do that.
Yeah. And that's what I say too. My life changed. I never meditated. And then when I started, and of course I started the Kundalini practice as my daily practice, which is even like more magical than just meditating. Yeah, my whole life, everything fell into an absolute amazing alignment that I never wished.
Yeah, and whatever, you know, the people listen, whatever techniques, just explore things you like. I use Kundalini yoga meditations because, well, that's my what I'm into. There's so many different types of meditations and mindfulness. You know, one thing I hear a lot is sometimes people are like, oh, I can't meditate, I can't sit still. Mm. Don't worry about doing it perfectly. You get better at it like anything else. And believe me, I do it every day and I still have days my mind's racing around all over the place. But the meditation, even if your mind is racing, the meditation is still a train that's bringing you to the destination.
And I would say that a general definition for meditation is, for someone that is really, really starting now, is doing nothing while awake. Pretty much you can be just looking at the wall. As long as you're not on your phone, you're not listening necessarily to like something, a podcast or music, you're not reading a book, you're not talking to anybody. You're not driving.
I get that all the time. People are like, well, I don't really meditate, but when I drive, it's like a meditation.
No.
Like
no.
You can have a meditative drive, but real meditation. Yeah, and that's exactly it. Just sit still. If you can close your eyes, or if you know whatever technique, explore it and find something you like. But I have to say, when I do it, even when I don't want to do it, and I've done with Kundalini yoga, I utilize some prosperity meditations and very specific. And I love Kundalini because it's like, there's a meditation for that. Oh, I feel insecure and I have self-animosity. There's a meditation for that. Oh, I want prosperity. There's a meditation for that. I want to attract a soulmate. There's a meditation for that. But so much with those prosperity meditations for me have opened up my world at a whole other level the last couple of years. It works. I don't need to prove anything. It works.
It works. And with my students and my monthly membership Inner Light Circle, we do practice 40 days of the prosperity meditation. And I have some great testimonials.
Oh, I love hearing stuff like that.
My students are people that have never meditated before and they don't necessarily had a spiritual practice before. And just by starting doing some breath work and some prosperity, you know, the hard one.
One of my favorites. I do that daily.
New jobs, new opportunities. So meditation can be anywhere from intentional meditation, intention setting, having like a specific prayer or a specific intention, or just, you know, relaxing the mind and the body and clearing the subconscious mind. Remington, thank you so much for being here with me today. People should follow you on Instagram, but they should because you do this. Are you going to continue doing it? The tarot, daily tarot. So this is the daily tarot choice that you're doing every day. It's
Big card every day on the Instagram stories. Instagram is just a fun tool for teaching. And that's how a lot of people find me. And my Instagram is @themysticalarts. All one word. Or if you look up Remington Donovan, and then my website is www.remingtondonovan.com. My workshop's on there. I have links to a lot of stuff on Rama TV. This podcast will be linked up there. Yeah, I really love picking that tarot card every day. It's really turned into quite a thing. And the feedback that I get, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
People are like, this is what I was literally doing today. And it won't just be one person.
I reposted almost every day for a while. I was reposting it every day.
Yeah, we keep reposting. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You're such a wise library of so much wisdom.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yes, so much wisdom.
Your enthusiasm and your energy is amazing. So we will connect more. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in from all over the world. And hopefully I'll meet a lot of you in the future.
Yes, thank you.